dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. So basically what he's saying is he accused them of lying and telling them corrupt words. That doesn't make any sense. They were actually telling the truth. King, we can't do this. But he was saying, you're telling me lies. It would have been better in the king's mind for them to come and make up some dream and tell him lies, and then for them to give an interpretation of it, then for them to tell the truth, we don't know your dream, we can't give the interpretation. So what I'm saying is, Nebuchadnezzar was not thinking clearly here. Do you see the mindset? The king was just not right thinking, and it was causing, really, a turmoil in his ranks. Now, there's a biblical message there I'm not going to talk about, but the Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs that if the leader, the ruler, is evil, all the men under him are evil. In other words, the spirit by which people follow is often dictated by the leader. And Nebuchadnezzar was way out of line here and obviously was troubled, but he was not thinking properly. Now, that's where it gets interesting, because now he says this to his man in charge. By the way, verse 11, it's a rare thing that the king requireth. That's the men saying to the king. Nobody's asked this before. We don't know anybody who's ever asked us to tell the dream and the interpretation. And he goes on, and they make a very interesting comment that I believe sets the stage now for what God wants to do. Now, let me just be, for a moment, I want to just tell you the truth here. The notes are going to go really fast, so just pay attention here as we lay some groundwork. God, when he wants to do something great, always sets the stage. Did you hear what I said? He always sets the stage. Now, I'm not saying that God intended for Nebuchadnezzar to be angry and mean. That was Nebuchadnezzar's choice. But God set the stage to do something very special and show his power. Now, church, listen to me tonight. We're praying, and I'm praying earnestly, that God would show his power in our church. I'm praying that God would show lives change and people would be saved and things would happen, and we would just see God work not only in our family, but in our church and our church's family. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. When we ask for that, you have to understand God has to have a stage, and I mean by that a position, a place by which his glory can be magnified. And the way that he often is glorified is when man is at his absolute end. And that's where Nebuchadnezzar was. That's where all these people were. Nobody could solve this. As a matter of fact, look at verse 11. Here's the stage being set. It's a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king. Notice they say, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Now here are the magicians, the guys who could supposedly read all kinds of things and they can see the future and all this. All right, king, what you're asking is not possible for us mere mortals. Only gods who are not in the flesh can do this. Now that was their way of saying some supernatural thing has to happen here. Now do you see how God set the stage already? All right, now it's easy for us to see because we're on the other side of it, but how many times do we not know? Daniel knew nothing of this. We have no records. As a matter of fact, when they came knocking on his door and the guy takes his sword is going to kill Daniel, and Daniel, as we're going to read in just a minute, says, wait a minute, what's all the hurry here? What's the rush? What's going on? Daniel didn't know anything about it. So what I'm saying now is that God is setting the stage often in the background of our times when we're in the times of greatest turmoil and stress and difficulty, and at the end, that's where God's setting the stage to do his work. So let's not be naive to think that when we say, God, just show us your power, show us your glory, that it's going to be easy or it's going to be without a test or what we talked about, a dilemma, a trial of faith. We have to expect that that's going to happen. All right? That's what I'm talking about in this. And so go on, if you would. The decree went forth, and I'm just going to skip quickly here, that the men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. And verse 14, Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which had gone before to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And Arioch made known the thing to Daniel. All right, so now Daniel, understand what's going on. All right, so let me bring you up to speed here on your notes, and let's talk about this real quick. I want you to see, first of all, that God gives the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. This is not a nightmare. It's not because he ate Pizza Hut before he went to bed. This was a God-given dream, and it was something that was so intense and personal and important and relevant that he, and you know how it is, you wake up, I had this dream last night, right? And what was your dream about? I can't remember. Now, some dreams you can remember. I remember waking up this morning. I had a dream last night. I couldn't tell you to this minute what it was. I remembered vividly when I was sleeping. What I'm saying is we know how this happens. We get up, we forget what's going on, and you don't want to lose it. Sometimes we do, but Nebuchadnezzar didn't. And it was kind of fleeting even as he was talking. And get those guys in here right now. We got to figure this thing out. And so there was an earnestness about this, and I think it's very interesting that it troubled his soul, or troubled his spirit, the Bible says. Now, here's the man who was troubling God's people, right? I mean, he had gone in under the judgment of, or using the judgment of God on his people, but troubling the people of Israel. Now I find that God's troubling him, and I see that that's a good justice in God's eyes. But notice also, Nebuchadnezzar had all these guards around him and keepers and all the things, but no one could protect him from God, right? And that's exactly what God does. He is supernatural. God is going to get his work done. And so here he is, and he's got this dream from the Lord. But notice number two, the wise men fail to interpret. Now, I've already mentioned the impossibility of this request. Humanly speaking, this was impossible. And it was impossible because, hear me out now, their power and their strength was only in man, right? That's all they had. Now, I think maybe Satan would empower them in some way and maybe give them some supernatural powers according to whatever he could. But what was being asked was impossible, humanly speaking. No one could do this, all right? And that's the impossibility of the task. And I want to say today, that God is a God of the impossible. Praise the Lord, as we're going to get there. And the stage is set for God to work in a mighty way. God gets the most glory when, and hear me out on this as well, when He alone does the work. He gets the most glory when He alone does the work. I want to tell you tonight, when someone gets saved that we're praying for, you know God did the work, right? I mean, that's all there is to it. And I'm going to share just something a little bit later here. I think you'll understand. Let me give you this number three then. And this is where we come kind of to the point of the whole thing. Number three, Daniel saves the day. Now, I understand tonight that it wasn't Daniel that did this. It was God's power. But I want you to also understand tonight that Daniel had a part in this. Do you understand? He had to make a choice. Daniel had a crisis of faith. He needed to make the right choice. And so notice what that was. I want you to see, first of all, Daniel's prudence in dealing with men. Now, notice in verse number 14, the Bible says that Daniel answered how, church? Can you just repeat that to me in verse 14? Counsel and wisdom. You know what that means? He didn't get all up in arms. He didn't lose his cool. When Arioch came to the door with his sword drawn, I'm guessing, ready to slay Daniel and his three friends and cut them in pieces, as Nebuchadnezzar told them, Daniel didn't get all crazy and lose everything. He answered with counsel and wisdom. I want you to notice tonight the wisdom or the prudence of Daniel dealing with men. And listen, in the moment of time when we're at the least in the least control, that's the time to keep your head about you, all right? And I see this, as God pointed out, the prudence that he dealt with man here, and speaking with Arioch the king first of all, but notice in verse number 15, he answered and said to Arioch the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty? And he told him, then verse 16, Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now, do I need to remind you tonight that the time was what the astrologers and the magicians and the Chaldeans were asking for King Nebuchadnezzar, and he wouldn't give it to him. Why would he now give it to Daniel who asked him? Well, I think we could go back to last week. Daniel had a good testimony, didn't he? Daniel's already showed himself to be 10 times wiser, 10 times better than the other people. And I'm not saying he gave him that for that purpose, but I believe Daniel went in with the right spirit. He went in with the right heart. Now, I want to tell you tonight, it's Wednesday night, we're late, I get it, but listen to me tonight. Your spirit in the midst of difficult situations makes all the difference in the world. And children, listen, you want to find out something from your mom and dad, there's a way to go to them in the right way and talk to them, and there's a way to go to them in the wrong way. And you have an employer, and there's a right way to deal with a problem, and there's a wrong way to deal with a problem. And your spirit makes a big difference. And I think tonight Daniel had the right spirit as he went in. He showed a lot of prudence when he talked to men. Arioch, the guy who was about to take his life, the king who had his life in his hands, that takes prudence. Daniel was able to speak in the right spirit and have the wisdom to have that ability, the permission that he needed. Notice number two, or letter B, Daniel's prudence in seeking God. Now, notice what the Bible says there. Now, verse 17, after he got permission to have a little bit more time, Daniel went into his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the Lord of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. All right, so here's what he did. He didn't go to his fellow wise men to get their opinion about what they should do. Did you know that? He didn't go to his countrymen or the people around him to build up some sort of a resistance against Nebuchadnezzar. This is unfair. No, you know what he did? He said, hey guys, we need to get on our faces before God. God's the only one that can do this. Is Nebuchadnezzar right? Is he fair? No. He's unfair. He's being unjust. What are we going to do? Well, I think today, if this was in America and my employer was being unfair to me, I might get on social media and lambast my employer, right? I mean, he's the wickedest guy in the world. He's just crazy. He's unfair, unjust. I'm going to take him to court. You know, I'm going to sue him and he'll learn who I am and I'm going to make... Or you maybe it's not that big a deal. They're mistreating me, so I'm just going to go tell all my coworkers and I'm going to go tell all my friends and everything else. And that's not what Daniel did. If it's big enough, maybe we go and we sign a petition or we start a movement or something to try to prove them wrong. What did Daniel do? We need to get on our face before the Lord. I believe Daniel showed prudence in seeking the Lord when all the other guys, they didn't have that, obviously, and so they went to each other and they were at their wits' end. They didn't know what to do. Listen, we need to seek the Lord. And when their time is that we've got our face up against the wall or there's something going on that's going to destroy whatever God's doing, we need to seek His face. And so Daniel did this with his friends. And by the way, I may say this. There's no need to know other people's opinions, but there is a need to gain other fellowship in prayer. I mean, we don't always need to know what everybody else thinks, but we need God to help us through prayer. And may I say this as well? Praying friends are valuable friends. You have a friend not that'll listen to your gossip, but that'll pray with you. You count yourself blessed. And if you are that friend, praise the Lord. If you're not that friend, you need to be. Daniel went to his three friends and said, guys, we need to pray about this. And I'll tell you right now, if you've got a friend that you can go to and said, I need prayer. This is a serious situation. I need prayer. I'm not talking about someone who just says, oh, I'll pray for you. I'll add you to my prayer list. I'm talking about somebody who's going to get on their face with you or they're going to pray with you along the route and make sure that things come out the way God wants them to. That is a valuable friend indeed. And so I'm thankful tonight for Daniel's three friends here. They were facing the same thing. And often Paul would, in his letters, he would ask prayer from his fellow laborers, wouldn't he? I ask you to pray for me. It's good. We need to do that. And that's what we have. Notice, if you would, though, as they come to prayer, notice the two elements of prayer here. And I believe this is kind of the key for what we're going to talk about here tonight. And notice, if you would, verse number 18, they basically, it doesn't tell what they prayed, but we know they ask for God to reveal this dream to them. And that, number one, I think constituted this part of their prayer, and that is, if you're on your notes there, letter A, the two elements of Daniel's prayer. Number one was petition. Petition. Petition is asking for something. And that's what Daniel's friend did. God, we need you to answer this prayer, and we're asking you to do this supernaturally. Listen, prayer is asking God for things. Ask and ye shall receive, the Bible says. Jeremiah 33:3, I mentioned this earlier. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Listen, God wants us to ask. He wants us to come and to bring it. And by the way, asking, it really shows our dependence upon the Lord. It says, Lord, I'm at a loss. I can't do it. May I say then that the corollary to this is, the more you depend upon the Lord, the more you will pray and ask God for what you need. And the converse is true. The less you depend upon God, the more you depend upon yourself, the less you will ask God. So I think we can do this. We can develop a little assessment test for us. I think today you could ask yourself, how much have I prayed and asked God for things specifically? I'm not talking about things that I want, things for my comfort. I'm talking about things that I need to see God work in, provision or whatever it might be. How much have you done that this week? And if you could count the number of hours or minutes that you've done that, compared to the number of hours and minutes that you've been alive, let's just then take that little assessment and determine how much then am I really depending upon God? You see, we want to see God work in our lives, but unless you're depending upon Him, you're not going to see Him work. And so God shows Daniel this through his dependence. It's based on the merits of God and not Daniel's merits, because Daniel said, listen, we're not worthy of this. And he says that in his testimony later on. There's nothing in us that is worthy of this. It's all God. And so he went to God, first of all, in petitions. But notice, if you would, number 2, look at verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Now, this is after verse 19, when the secret was revealed to Daniel. I love the fact that that's just one verse in this whole long chapter. Don't you love that? Of course God did it. God showed him the secret. After all this anxiety and all this turmoil in the hearts of men, Daniel and his three friends, we don't know how long they prayed. I don't know how long it took. I would say, I don't think it's that long. It doesn't indicate that it was all night or, you know, the next day or a couple days. I don't know. Might have been. But nonetheless, God just revealed the secret to him. Amen? God just does it. See, prayer's not, and seeking God in prayer and getting his answer, that's not a hard thing. But notice the praise then, verse 20, Daniel, blessed be the name of our God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And we could go on down. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. And so what did he do? He asked, God gave it to him, he praised the Lord for it. I think prayer ought to be those two things often. Number one, petition. Number two, praise. Now, this was praise just to God. He didn't go out. This wasn't public praise. This was his heart reveling in the goodness of God. I think that's where praise always needs to start. Revel in the goodness of God for when he answers our prayers. Now, there was another time, if you'll turn over, verse 27. That was his praise to God, but there was also praise about God. Look at verse 27. The Bible says, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dreams and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Now, here's what he was saying. All right, so he gave God the praise in private, didn't he? But then he gave God the praise in public. He said, King, before I tell you what this matter is and what the secret is, I got to tell you something. You didn't know this, and the astrologers didn't know this, and the soothsayers and the Chaldeans didn't know this, but there's a God in heaven who reveals these things. You see, here's what I want to say to you tonight, church. Maybe this is the one thing that you get from the whole message. Are you listening? Here it is. God puts us in positions where he wants to be glorified, but many times we fail to give him the verbal glory publicly in front of people because we might be afraid. I don't know what Daniel was thinking now, but as a young man standing before powerful Nebuchadnezzar, knowing that his life was in his hand, and he was just a hair's breadth away from being cut into pieces, he stood and said, King, this thing that nobody else can do, there's a God in heaven that knows. And I'll tell you, I think that changed the heart of the king more than anything else. Because we find out later, Nebuchadnezzar, after he heard what Daniel said, he said, your God knows. Your God's the right God. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had to go through several other lessons, but I'll tell you this. How many times in our lives have we failed to use opportunities of crisis where God comes through to show others that God is good or that He can do these things? I think sometimes we miss that. And I think that's where the world needs to see the Lord working. They need to see that this, what happened here, man can't do, God alone can do. When's the last time we've seen that? When's the last time we've acknowledged it? And so, I'll say this, there's as much to God getting the glory in what we do as in what He does. Now be careful here. God doesn't depend upon our praise. God has commanded our praise. Well, matter of fact, the Bible says Jesus was walking and His disciples were praising Him, and the Pharisees says, tell your disciples to stop praising you. Jesus said, if they stop praising me, what would happen? The rocks would cry out. He doesn't need us, but let me tell you, He's given us the privilege of being His magnifier, His kind of, whatever you want to call, prism of praise. Listen, mankind will get, God will get the glory through mankind as His people reflect that praise back to Him. Now, is God's glory seen everywhere? Oh, without a doubt. The heavens declare the glory of God. But most people don't see it. How are they going to see it? Through you and I. Wow, if they said that and that happened to them, now they can dismiss us too, but God uses us to glorify Him. That's why we're created, to be the magnifier, the glorifier of God through these situations. That's exactly what Daniel was doing. He was the magnifier of God. And so, there was no doubt in the mind of Daniel that God gave the vision to him, and he had to share that before he shared the dream with the king. Notice number three, though, letter C there. So his two elements of prayer, we mentioned already, petition and praise, but going back to our thought concerning Daniel here and how he saves the day, notice God's mercy in granting the request. I go back to verse number 19, as I mentioned already. We serve a living and true God who is intimately aware of our problems and our needs. He knows what you're in and what situation. It may not feel like it. When that Arioch was standing at Daniel's door with his three friends, with his sword ready to go, maybe his men there saying, we're going to chop you in pieces because of this. Daniel says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen, at that moment, it may not feel like God knew where Daniel was. It may not have felt that God was right there, but I guarantee you He was. And even we don't feel like God is right with us, Daniel shows us that we can trust the Lord and we can be committed to what He is doing. And so, notice, if you would, there, we serve this living and true God who's intimately aware of what our needs are in that moment. Now, can I share with you just a very silly illustration? And I say silly because I feel very silly about it. But I think it kind of shows a little bit of what I'm talking about. Monday, our dear beloved cat, Sunday, our dear beloved cat disappeared. And, you know, she's been gone for a day or so and come back, and we haven't thought about it. But we got to Monday. I got thinking, oh, she's not back yet. Okay. That's about all I thought about it. By Tuesday, it's kind of in the back of my head. This was yesterday. I'm thinking, wow, I better start making some plans here, you know. Better start talking to the kids or something. Well, I came home yesterday after being out of the house for a little bit, and our Elena was just in years. I mean, inconsolable. Our cat is gone. She's never coming back, and I don't know where she's at. I mean, you know, it's okay, Lane. It's all right. But, you know, as she's doing that, we're thinking, wow, yeah, this cat, man, I tell you. I mean, I hope she's not a pancake out on the road. I hope she, you know, she's freezing somewhere. I don't know. You know, and I love, she's our cat. We got to take care of her. And I'm just saying, man, yeah, all right. And then I see my daughter. She's just falling apart. It's breaking my heart. And you know, we're trying to make fun of it, or not make fun, but make light of it. Mrs. Royalty's doing her best to try to make Elena laugh and, you know, to be okay. We're joking around a little bit and stuff. And this is about, I'm going to say about 9:30 last night. And, you know, it's kind of all on, it's on all of our minds. And independently, I just said, Lord, it would be great if, you know, this cat would show up tonight for Elena. I mean, Lord, I know we don't deserve it, but it's not a big deal. But if you know, it'd just be great to give her some comfort. You know, she's in pain and this sort of thing. I didn't think anything more about it. Well, I came out, and I'm sitting there and doing something, and all of a sudden, Mrs. Royalty says, and we're all like, what? And sure enough, I mean, this is literally 15 minutes after I had prayed this prayer. The cat, I don't know, for some reason, it's really weird, but she only comes in through the front window. Don't ask me, I don't know. Somehow she learned that she jumps up on the front, big front window, and she just sits there, and we see her, we open the window, she crawls in. I don't know, somehow she learned that, and that's what she does. So we always look there, that's where the cat comes in. And lo and behold, 15 minutes after I prayed, and we talked about this, there's cat sitting right there, after being gone 2.5 days, 3 days. And we let her in, and and everything's good, and she's devouring her food and everything else, and Dina tells me, she's like, I was standing at the stove about 15 minutes ago, and I prayed that God would just bring that cat back. And then Elena tells me, and she's hugging this cat, I prayed, and I said to the Lord, now, get this, this is 12 years old. Brother Andrew, the mean Sunday school teacher he is, has her memorizing all these Bible verses already. And she asked me a couple days ago, Dad, should I do the church Bible memorization too? Because I'm already memorizing all these verses. I don't think I can do it. Like, well, we'll see. I think you're pretty smart, but we'll see what happened. Well, she said, I was sitting on the couch praying, and I said, Lord, if you bring that cat back, I'll memorize the verses for church. Now, all of this happened within 15 minutes, and lo and behold, that cat showed up on the front window. Now, it's a silly little thing, isn't it? But you know what we were able to do? We were able to sit there and say, God answered. And I didn't know she prayed. She didn't know I prayed. We both didn't know Elena was making vows over here. We had a little lesson about Jephthah, and we're like, okay, you gotta be careful, you know. It's like, Lord, whatever comes through that front door, it'll be yours. And then we'd tell the boys when they're walking in, because they hadn't gotten home yet. We said, walk through the back door, not the front door, you know. We were laughing and joking, but the whole point was this. We were able to just rejoice about the Lord doing something. He heard in that moment our need. And there's no doubt in my mind, Dina's mind, Elena's mind, I don't think any of our family, that God didn't answer that prayer. He heard what we were saying right then. Now, what I was thinking today, we were rejoicing in that, and that's all great, and it really did increase our faith. But here's what I'm thinking. If we care so much about, pardon me, a stupid cat, if we care so much about our cat, when's the last time we've been that concerned for our neighbor or for anything that's spiritual? And I really did get convicted. I thought to myself, Lord, you know, the prayer that we prayed of dependence on you, we did depend on the Lord. Lord, if you do this, we can't do it. And as much as that increased our faith, how much more does God want to do in our lives just by asking him? But it's not just, Lord, would you do this? Check it off my list. Lord, would you do that? Check it off my list. Go down my prayer list. Nothing wrong with praying your prayer list, but where's your dependence at? And that's one thing I learned from this whole cat ordeal. Where's my dependence at? It really is about a matter of dependence on the Lord. And I think that's where Daniel and his friends were. Lord, we've got to have this. There's no other option. We don't have any other choice. And I'm just saying tonight, God wants to do great things in our lives. It's not God's will that nothing ever happens. I think he really wants to show himself. But are we willing to depend upon him for it? I think that's really the message of Daniel's example here in chapter 2. And we know what happened. I'm not going to go through. I brought just the end here, and I'm going to wait on that. Because Daniel told the dream, didn't he? And there's something in that dream that we're going to talk about. I don't have time tonight to do it. But we're going to talk about next week, Lord willing, or in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and not just the dream, but what it means to us today. It really does have a prophetic element to it. I'm excited about that. So we'll come back and talk about that. But as we close tonight, let's remember this. Daniel's dependence was on God, not his smarts, not his friends. They all together got together and depended upon the Lord, and God did it. Now, was it a big thing? Absolutely. Was our thing last night, the cat, a small thing? Yes. I think what that shows is God wants to do big and small things in our lives. Nothing too big, nothing too small. Now, if we just simply want God to bring our cat back every night, and that's the element of our faith, I think we need to grow a little bit, don't you? Let's pray for bigger things. Let's pray for God to do something big. And I believe God wants to do that. But often he'll do it only in the midst of great crisis and difficulty. Let's not be upset about that. Let's let the Lord do it, okay? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Thank you for the example of Daniel. And Lord, we know Daniel didn't save the day, but he definitely had a part in this that I think we need to learn from. God, I pray that you'd help us to be witnesses to your glory and splendor. And Lord, it's not glorious when we're in the midst of it. It's not glorious to have somebody standing at your door like Daniel did, ready to hack you in pieces. But Lord, the glory came as he navigated with prudence and wisdom and dependence upon God, and you shined, Lord, in that situation. Lord, this is not an ancient story that's just nice to hear. It is relevant to each one of our lives in every moment of our lives. Help us to show our dependence upon you and trust in faith. And God, we thank you for your love to us tonight. Thank you for the example of Daniel. Help us as we